Hear ye, and welcome to the Royal Geek Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Olson, also known as T-Roll, and tonight I'm joined by my very good friends. First of all, we have Justin Sandoval, a.k.a. Sandy, and we also have Anthony Amato, who we like to call Shamato. Boys, we are here to talk about some motherfrickin' King Kong and some gosh darn Godzilla.
That's right, man. Yeah.
It's Godzilla and Kong, the new empire. I think I got it right.
You did. You got it right.
Pretty wild movie.
Yeah. You know, I was going into this week. I guess. I don't know.
Like, sure.
Going into this week, I was waiting for the Rotten Tomatoes scores. I was waiting.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't come until late, and so I was a little scared.
Getting nervous. Getting the DC feels.
Yep, getting
DC scares.
DC scares and Sony...
It's even worse.
Sony.
Yes, it's way worse, actually.
Avoidance.
That's way worse.
Yeah. So the scores dropped at initially premiered at 68, then dropped to 62. And I think currently they're in the 50s, actually.
Yes. 57.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I will say this is one of the examples of a movie where I'm like,
ooh, 55.
Rotten Tomatoes, like,
the critics are wrong.
They're a little bit of fart sniffers in this situation.
Yeah, they're too hoity-toity.
Yeah,
that's all they are.
Yeah, no, because they look for plot.
Yeah, correct.
And dialogue, which there ain't much.
Yeah. This movie is not dialogue-driven and plot-driven.
It's not what this movie is about. Like, it's not. It's just not.
Two colossal titans fighting each other or more.
Well, yeah.
That's what this is about.
Or teaming up.
Yes.
Yes.
This is more about, this is the same thing we talk about with Fast and Furious movies.
Mm-hmm.
You're just there for the carnage, the mayhem, the crazy spectacle.
Which, I think this is a perfect time to talk about the movie theater experience came back for this movie.
Yeah,
like I'm telling you right now, when you walked into the theater, did you expect to see a crowd as large as we saw?
No, I told you that. I was blown away.
Blown away.
There was like more than 50 people in our freaking...
Which, opening premiere night, insane. Like,
yeah,
you and I went through
at this theater. This is not like a premiere theater.
Right, correct. Which imagine if we would have went.
Yeah, went to Atlanta, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How wild would that have been?
40X.
Yes, we're in Georgia. Anyways.
Yeah. But
did 40X that we should have done 40X. What were you thinking?
The only problem was that the 40X was only in 3D. And I know how you guys feel about that.
I'd have done it.
No, you wouldn't have.
Yes, I would.
Would you have done 3D?
Probably.
Wow.
I will say 3D mixed with 40X feels like if you have motion sickness,
you'd be screwed.
You'd be screwed.
If I would have actually just talked to you guys, then
communication is key.
We would have done that. But anyway.
Yeah.
The crowd we had was insane. And then T-Roll and I in the car ride back home, we tried breaking down the movies in the last, year?
Okay, so I did some more thought on this.
Talking
to Wifey. I think in the last year and a half, Shimano, at this theater we went to, because when we go to the big city, when we go to Atlanta, a lot of times those theaters are, there's more people, obviously.
Yes, yes.
But for the theater we were at, it was like the last year and a half, I'm trying to think of a...
Seven max.
Dude, like Aquaman had seven. Yeah. The Marvels had probably something similar.
Yeah.
Madam Web had seven.
Well...
Aquaman had more than seven.
When we saw Aquaman, it had more than seven, but our group was seven.
Yeah, dude, no. That was the one where I wanted no one to walk in, and there one freaking couple.
Yeah, one couple. Yeah,
So there you go. There's actually more people to see Madam Web. Yeah. Congratulations.
Don't count our group, though. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, I would say in the last year and a half, like Barbie is probably the only one that I've seen at that theater
You saw Barbie there. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so I wasn't there for that, but that's my whole point. Yeah. Like, I was thinking back the last year and a half, we've seen a good bit of movies. Even Fast and Furious or whatever the most recent Fast movie was, we saw there, and it was like not that many people.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It was not a lot of people.
So before we even get into the movie review, it's like we pulled in the parking lot. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of cars here.
Yeah, right.
It was relatively late on a Thursday night,
and the fact that it's Godzilla and Kong, like these two big mammoth like creatures, right, are able to draw a big crowd. Like it translates, right? It's consistent with the titular character, I should say. But I was thoroughly impressed with the crowd. I enjoyed the movie going experience, and when you're able to have a crowd that's like in it with you, that kind of thing. Which I will point this out. I was very shocked to see a opening night premiere late at night and a 5-year old being there with their parents.
Yes, I was.
I was like, what
is going on? Yeah. What are you doing with your life?
Yeah. I'm. I don't know.
On a weeknight.
On a weeknight. Yeah, they had school the next day. That kind of thing. But I mean, it is what it is. But the fact that it drew that many people out, that means there's like a diehard Godzilla fan that was like, I gotta see this movie.
Hey, or a King Kong fan.
I mean, you're right. Yes.
Let's be real, dude. Let's be real.
But in all actuality, the mythos.
Let's be real.
Godzilla.
Let's be real.
Godzilla's hot right now. Monarch.
Okay. Look. Yep.
Godzilla minus one.
Okay. So Godzilla, like.
No spoilers. We're still
Godzilla
spoiler free
is
right now.
The way bigger name.
For sure.
But
for sure.
I feel like King Kong was the star of this movie.
Darn right.
Oh, I mean, yeah. He for sure took the crown. For sure.
Okay. Any other spoiler free comments you have?
Buckle up, man. This is a fun ride. It's fun. It's fun.
If for some reason you're listening and you haven't seen it, mm-hmm. let us convince you why you should go watch it in IMAX.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Or 4DX.
Yeah.
3D, I guess. That'd be pretty wild. Don't just do a normal showing is the point. We almost did last night for scheduling things. Like, we had a late call we had to make, but we decided to stick it on IMAX. Glad we did.
Yeah.
If nothing else... Hearing the roar from Kong and the roar from Godzilla
is worth it.
Yeah.
The sound, like, IMAX is known for like having a bigger screen, but the sound in IMAX is so amplified.
It's an underrated quality. For sure.
And I mean, the sound hit, man. Every time Godzilla roared and Kong roared, I was just like, I was in it. I was so in this movie. I didn't care that the plot was very patchy. I did not care one bit that the plot was patchy. You don't go to these movies. You mentioned this, T-Roll. You don't go to these movies for the plot. You go to these movies
to
have
shut your mind off and just like have a ride.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
It's a roller coaster.
Which is what the Fast series has become, like the Fast and the Furious franchise.
I was expecting Toretto to show up.
Oh, my God. You see it in the trailer, so it's not spoilers, but as soon as Kong got his, like, metal glove, I was like, Toretto's driving this thing. Let's freaking go. But Great, a fun time. Fun time. Yeah. I'm glad there's a lot of people in the theater to see it.
Yeah, me too. I was blown away by that. So, okay, I think it's time. Here's your spoiler warning. Again, I'm assuming if you're listening, you've already seen it. And if you haven't seen it, it means you just love our voices, which means the world to us. All right? Thank you. Thank you for it. All right, here we go. Spoiler warning for Kong and Godzilla, the new empire. Just carnage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carnage everywhere.
So, I mean, the opening scene where Kong is running away from the pack of like hyena hybrid looking things.
Yeah.
And he just rips it in half, dude. What the heck?
Yes.
What a way to start the freaking
movie.
Dude,
he ripped one in half and all of its green blood poured on him.
Yes.
Lovely.
And then they turned away and ran.
Like, you got to see so much of, like, there was a lot more of, like, getting to know Kong.
Correct,
In this movie. Like, you got to see, like, him, like, he basically up until this point, you had seen him be strong, but you hadn't seen him be intelligent that much.
Yeah.
Which, you get to see him set traps down there, and you get to see him, you know, do other things. You get to see little, like, quirks of him in this, and little, like, you know, it's almost like you're going to peek behind like the curtain type of situation.
And even his mindset of like, oh, I need help, so I'm going to go get Godzilla. That's him like being strategic.
Yeah.
Like,
leaning on the people. Like leaning
on the people.
Yeah, going up there and being like, hey,
I got a toothache.
I need
to go visit the dentist.
I need a tooth.
In a way, he almost like, I don't know, I got this feeling of like, he through a good chunk of this movie, he felt like Danny Glover from Lethal Weapon. because there were moments where he was just like exasperated with what was going on. Like, he was laying, he was tired, he was hurt. Like, he was like, you got so much of his humanity in, like, you know, in this movie, like, where you get to see like these extra things where he wasn't this, you know, insane Titan. He was, you know, you got to see that he was a living, breathing being in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And I think it was like the first 15 minutes that not a single human dialogue was spoken. It was just like Kong and his emotions and like trying to interpret what he was dealing with.
You could see it in his eyes.
Yeah, you can really like feel what Kong was feeling, that kind of thing, right? Like, he's alone. He's searching for something.
Yeah.
But he's still surviving, like that kind of thing. Like he's in it. He's in the grind.
Yeah.
But he's still got emotions.
Like, I think I realized when last time we did conversation about, I think, did we review the last movie together, or was that, I don't remember. The last time we talked about Kong and Godzilla on this podcast, you guys roasted me for being a Kong guy. I remember that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm still going to roast you for being a Kong guy.
But I think I know why.
Okay, tell me. Tell me why.
There is so much emotion with Kong. And with Godzilla, it's just mayhem and carnage.
Is it because when you look at Kong, you see... like,
myself?
Yourself. Is that why?
Yeah, I look like...
Feature-wise?
Yes. Yeah. The beard, the nose.
The hairy, hairy.
Yeah, the massive size.
Yeah.
In other ways, I guess. The truth is, like, I felt for Kong a lot
you
of
did.
Times.
You really did.
He feels lonely. He feels sad.
He has a sense of longing, right?
Longing. Even the way he's trying to convince this little mini Kong to, like, he gave him so many
opportunities,
chances.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The way he connects with the little girl.
Yeah.
You know, the way he connects with everybody.
Yeah.
Like, he's way more emotional.
Yeah.
He's way more emotionally stable than Godzilla.
Dude. Okay. Well, we get. I got something to say about Godzilla, but I don't think not yet.
But I think that's why I've always liked Kong more, because there is way more emotion.
Yeah, you can. I mean,
no, it's true.
No, I agree with you. I agree. The Kong, you can kind of relate to more. I mean, you
for
really
sure.
Can. You really can.
Yeah, I don't mind if you think Godzilla's cooler.
Godzilla's cooler. But at the end of the day, like, he's made up, right? He's make believe. But like, Kong literally is a gorilla. Like, basically,
true.
Like, you could go to the zoo and
see gorillas
and watch them interact with each other. Like,
yeah.
So you can dive into that. You could feel that, and they even have personalities similar to what Kong portrayed here in the movie.
Yeah.
Whereas Godzilla, not so much. You really can't really feel that. Really dive into that. But, I mean, the human characters. Can we talk about them for a minute? Like,
sure.
We talk about Kong. That's a good spot. But then, like, immediately after the Kong scene, it transitions to the human scenes.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Rebecca Hall, main character. I wasn't really digging her character that much. She kind of didn't do that much for me. But her reeling in, like, Brian Tyree Henry, I thought was fantastic. I thought he was funny. He was good.
He was the life of the movie.
Anything that he did in that movie, I thoroughly enjoyed. And then... I didn't realize who else was in the movie until the credits rolled.
But can I say about him?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just the thing is, like, when you get the freedom to just be funny and fun,
yes.
You're going to steal the show. When you're the serious doctor who's got to hold everything together, or the serious professional.
Yeah, it doesn't quite mesh.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's we're going to compare this to the Fast series a lot.
Yeah.
It's similar to, wow, I cannot believe I'm blanking on Aquaman's real name. Sorry.
Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa. Thank you. Literally, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
We stayed up late watching this movie. Like Momoa in the last movie, in the last Fast movie. Just
carefree.
They said, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So you get to have fun.
Yeah.
And I think with...
Brian Tyree Henry.
With Brian Tyree Henry, it was similar. It's like, he's just like...
Bernie? I think his name was Bernie.
I think it is Bernie. Which, he's a podcaster. Dude, how cool to be...
I know. Trust me.
Get someone like that. Get his character. Not him.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I would
having Brian Tyree Henry.
Yeah. Let's talk about Atlanta.
But right. But even his character on this pod, that'd be sick.
So
anyways,
great.
Keep going.
Yeah. Okay. But then, like, when the credits rolled, I was like, Dan Stevens, like the Beast, live action Beast is in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, cool. Which he played the vet. So, interesting character.
The vet.
Yeah, it's kind of eccentric.
Very eccentric. Hawaiian t-shirt. Like,
the
Aussie. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we're going stereotypical humans here. We're going a doctor.
Trapper.
Yes, Trapper. There you go. That was the name. Yeah. So you're going a doctor, like professional, straight edge, right? You're going outlandish, like media presence, kind of like with Brian Tyree Henry. And then you're going like, you're doubling down on the outlandish with... like a veterinarian? Like, I don't know. I was a little taken aback by that. Like, I was just like, couldn't he have been like some sort of like grunt in like the Monarch forces or something like that? Like a veterinarian? Like,
So he's your typical, like, your landing team. Like, you need a doctor. He is the doctor for that team.
Specializes in Titans.
Yes, specializes in Titans. He's also, he also works... I would say similar to like a science officer, if you're talking about, because of the fact that he knows lot of the the inner workings of the of Titans, Hollow Earth in the sense of the Titans. So you need that. You need somebody who can be like, hey, this is what this is. This is what that is. So I think he worked fine. I mean, you basically have your lead. You have your comic relief. You have your doctor who, and then you have your miscellaneous child.
Yeah, which always is, miscellaneous child.
Who's the chosen one? Like who's the key to everything? Yeah. Essentially, the fourth person is usually the key to everything type of person.
Correct.
I mean, I felt like it was a fine team put together. I feel like it was very. I feel like they fell into the natural pitfall that happens in every single movie where it's like. Terrible decision making. Like, there's no reason that there's no reason that the podcaster should have been going down there. There's no reason that the daughter should have been going down there.
No, and when Rebecca Hall like made these decisions, like I know you said worst parent ever. Like you mentioned that you said that in the theater. Like, but no, like seriously though, she fell into the trope of. Smartest person in the room being the dumbest person, like she fell into that category.
Now, what would be interesting is if they had dropped like the possibility that the Iwe were down there, that there was Iwe civilization.
But
down
there. But they didn't.
See, if they had just been like, "Hey, there's Iwe. There's a possibility that there's like an ancient Iwe civilization down there." Then you're like, "Oh well, then it makes sense to actually bring one down there." Like, although you hate the fact that you're going, you got to pull her down there. But she's the only living member that's on the surface world that is a member of that tribe. So it's like, "Oh, I guess we have to bring her."
Correct.
Instead of it just being like, "Oh well, okay," like it's. Terrible decision making.
Now, I need you guys to check me if you need to, but like I'm still holding some resentment for Rebecca Hall being in Iron Man 3. That's why so much I disliked her character. But like, am I wrong for disliking her character as much as I did? Like, I really did not like her character at all.
I just think it's like a lot of times these characters that have to hold the line in terms of like there's no fun.
Yeah,
there's no personality.
Correct. Yeah.
So there's a theory that I have, and it generally goes for sitcoms, where the main character is the most boring character, and you generally do not like them. And I think that's what she was.
Ted Mosby? Is that what we're talking about here?
Okay. Ted Mosby. Yeah. Ted Mosby is a perfect example. Malcolm from Malcolm in the Middle, perfect example.
I like Malcolm, though. I was a Malcolm fan.
Okay, but
I wasn't
every
a
other
fan. I wasn't a Dewey fan.
But, I mean, okay, so they're much more interesting characters, though. He was very just, like,
that's true.
There.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it happens in a lot of TV series. Like, you know, Ross would be considered, like, the main character. I would consider him, like, the main character from Friends. Like, but he sucked. Like, he was not a good...
Chandler
and
Joey all day,
Like, they're usually just... They're bland, and they're there to anchor the movie or the TV show in reality.
Right.
And everybody's to allow everybody else to be eccentric.
To play.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, T'Challa, T'Challa to some extent, like being kind of like a grounded,
yeah. Okay. Good point.
Steady.
Yeah. Yeah.
To let Michael B. Jordan play.
Everyone else is like, oh my
God. Or Shuri
amazing.
Even, you know, where you get her
great
to be a little
point,
bit like, you know, bigger. Yeah. But that's kind of how I see it is like, oh, it's time not like that. I mean, she was just kind of like there. Like, there was nothing like super interesting about her.
I don't think the human characters contributed all that much. I feel like this movie was
except for Trapper. He saved Kong how many times?
Oh yeah, that's true.
I mean,
well, okay. As far as actually, you know what? Trapper
was great.
Trapper came through.
Trapper and Bernie were great, actually. Their
Bernie
whole interactions
was,
the whole
Bernie
time.
Bernie was fun. He was
fun. But he didn't really do anything.
He didn't do anything. Yeah, you're right, Chamato. Like, he was more of like...
He was the comic relief. That's what he was.
There you go.
Well, yes, he was. But I actually did like the way that they had... Hold on. Let me get it out.
Get it out.
Let me speak. I actually liked the way that they had him interact with the head honcho lady of the Iwi, where like... He was like saying something,
interpreting for her. Like, he understood.
Well, he understood
the science
of it. Well, but before that, he's like making comments about something being weird, and they're like, they can understand you.
Yeah.
And then she just looks at him, and he's like, oh,
yeah.
But so, then later, when they were gonna shift with the gravity, she just kind of looks at him, and he's like, oh wait, y'all are gonna do the gravity thing.
Which,
and I actually liked that they had that moment.
Yeah, but how did he? Like, he's a podcaster. He shouldn't know, like. The gravity displacement.
No. But he's not a podcaster like you, Justin.
Okay. He actually has research.
He's
and,
a podcaster. Yeah. A lot of podcasters aren't like you.
Yeah.
Maybe not a lot. But
you're
I think,
saying I suck is what you're saying.
No, I just think that there are maybe not a lot. There's enough podcasters out there that are conspiracy theorists.
Okay. All right. There we go.
And will go down crazy rabbit holes.
Yeah.
And conspiracy theorists are just typically
willing to fight against logic, right? Is what you're saying?
Well, they take stands until they're proven right or wrong.
Yeah.
In fairness.
Okay, fair
and,
enough.
Yeah. And in this universe, he's proven right a lot.
Yeah.
His character is.
I also think it's interesting because he was important because what he contributed to the team was sensationalism. Because his sensationalism, his like awe of everything that was happening, allowed the other three members of the team to act like this was normal and it not be something that was insane. Like, because otherwise it would have been like, okay, straight up, like, I get that you sometimes interact with this, but this is an insane world. We need somebody freaking out every once in a while.
About a tree.
About something happening.
Yeah. Great point, actually.
Because, like, otherwise it's like, what is going on? Like, how is the, like,
that's
how are
really,
you
yeah.
acting
the
normal?
Writer.
You know?
Yeah, the writer and him, yeah. No, you're right. That's a good point. He is keeping us in check. Yes, we've seen many Godzilla and Kong iterations throughout the years. And we may have become like desensitized to how in awe or enamored we should be with these creatures, right?
Yes.
But he's there to kind of reality check us. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
I like that.
So that kind of reminds me of like, okay, so not necessarily the coolest scene in the movie, but probably my favorite shot in the movie. So when they're fighting in the final fight scene, and Kong is fighting Scar King, Scar King, and you know they're fighting, and he hits Scar King, and one of his teeth comes out, and it flies down.
Lands
So that's the reason why I love that scene is not necessarily because other than the fact that it's cool that he punches him and he loses a tooth.
Yeah.
That is a perspective shot. What that is to remind the audience, because we've been dealing with these enormous monsters for so long and so much in this movie was based on them. This is to remind them there were perfectly set things that you could see in that scene when it landed to give you perspective of what we're actually talking about. Like, there was a car right next to it.
That's true.
You know how big a car is.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, no matter who you are, you know how big a car is.
Yes.
There were humans relatively close to that. You know how big of a human is. It reminds you that these are actual giant beasts because at some point when you see these giant monsters fighting, you can lose, like, just how big they actually are.
The gravity of the situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
The gravity of the situation. Mm-hmm.
That's good, man.
I think that was, like, I saw that scene, I was like, that's what this was. This was a perfect version of reminding us because of what they had been doing for so long that this is what was happening.
Yeah. Okay. That's good, man. I like the way you put that.
And on top of that, Kong gave him like a little like knowing nod.
Because earlier
he was laughing at his
made
tooth.
Made fun of his tooth.
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, there was a whole laughing, chuckling scene with the apes laughing at his fake tooth.
Yes.
But that's good, man.
Okay. You want to talk about Scar?
Yeah, let's talk about Scar. Let's keep it on the apes right now.
Scar King.
We're leading up to the finale of the grand build-up to the Godzilla. That's what we're doing.
So he looked cool.
Scar looked cool. When we first introduced the Scar, we see his depiction on the hieroglyphics.
That's right.
And then it transitions over to Kong actually like luring him out based on the fact that he's intruding into his territory.
Because
he's an alpha. Scar's an alpha.
Yes, and so is Kong.
Yeah, and then Scar is chilling on this throne, like, dude, that the silhouette of him like leaning,
it looks
like,
cool,
hunched over,
it looks cool,
and then he emerges, dude, it's so sick,
and he looks cool with his necklace,
the
tribal chief,
yes, and
his bandolier,
I was
is basically what it is,
right, yeah, but like the whip, dude, it was just wearing it, and it was incredible,
And he's agile.
He's very agile, which his body type, you're like, okay, he's big and massive, lanky arms.
He's more like an orangutan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So like the initial scene where he walks up from the throne to the edge of the cliff and he's like kind of cockeyed, arm down, hunched over, looking back. Dude, that gave me Joker vibes. I was like, this dude is here to play. This dude is here to like chaos.
And I really love that.
Yeah.
I really love that they took the time to give a battle, a fight where it's mm-hmm. It's kind of like Black Panther, where like Killmonger wins the first fight,
correct?
Yeah,
and then T'Challa wins the second. It's like Scar King won this first one, and then Kong won the second.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It was so. Scar King was he was it, man. He was that initial battle. I'm like, okay, they got themselves a little bit of a fight here. Yeah. Like it's gonna be very intriguing.
And who knew that Kong was the pretty boy of the ape world? Because those are some ugly.
Yeah, dude. But they may have been ugly. They may have been ugly due to the fact that like Scar King would like keep them down, that kind of thing. Like
they were ugly.
Yeah, they were bad.
Speaking of that, all right, here's the thing. Scar King. I mentioned this briefly last night. We're in the parking lot. What the heck is going on down there in mining?
You're gonna make me do this on air.
Yeah,
you're
do it live. Like you haven't heard my process of thought before.
So we see the footage of Hollow Earth's research center destroyed, and it was Scar. Like we see his eyes in the footage, right?
Right.
I'm gonna do the best ability I have to describe this. Okay. So they are imprisoned in the lava area. Mm-hmm. We're gonna talk about the lava pit area where they're imprisoned, right?
Yes.
You said they're working down there. You said that the other apes are forced to work and mine. They're mining the lava, the rocks, right?
Yeah.
Well,
they're doing something.
I feel like they managed to mine themselves out into this subterranean area to where that they can
further south
of the Hollow Earth.
The Hollow Earth,
yes,
where
correct.
Kong lives.
Kong lives in Hollow Earth. Let's just call it Hollow Earth, okay? But Kong is also digging, setting up trenches, and like doing all sorts of stuff. So Kong, the result of Kong being creative and experimentative and like just being, you know,
who he is,
he kind of meets the subterrane. Okay, going to back to the lava area. All right, T-Roll, stay with me here.
I'm with you.
Going back to the lava area. They've made it through the lava area prison into subterranean Hollow Earth.
Okay.
Subterranean, all right? They're moving freely around, but there's nothing in the subterranean. They have to get from subterranean to Hollow Earth. Kong allowed subterranean to reach Hollow Earth, and they were only able to reach subterranean by freeing themselves from lava prison.
Okay. Lava
prison. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
And so that's what happened. So Scar was able to move freely from subterranean.
He takes out the first outpost.
Emerge from the subterranean into Hollow Earth because of Kong.
Yeah.
While Kong is getting his tooth fixed.
Yeah.
Destroys Hollow Earth.
Right.
And then goes back into the lava pit and chills. That's it.
So that's my thing. Why? And when when Kong shows up later, after everything you've just said,
mm-hmm.
Kong shows up, why are they still mining? What are his apes, his minions, his followers doing?
I think from headcanon, this is me headcanoning here.
Okay.
To get more of the apes out in order to do it, because not everybody can make the journey across the bones of whatever creature they had to kill in order to create that bridge. That's what it is. Because, I mean, that didn't look sturdy enough to carry however many apes were down there. It didn't. But when we get the reveal of this new Titan of Shimo, he creates an ice bridge where they all can walk through. That's my headcanon. That's it. That's where I'm at.
Okay, so, but the problem with that would be, why couldn't Shimo just do that at any point?
Yes.
Plot holes, man.
I think it's a plot hole. I think it's just they wanted us to feel like Scar was an evil leader.
Yeah, I think they wanted to create some of that. I don't know. Maybe they wanted to like, I mean, the only thing I can think about is like maybe Scar King knew that Kong was up there. So he purposefully went up there once the rift was made, or like where he
from
was able to get from terrain
to Hollow Earth,
mm-hmm. he destroyed that and came back because he wanted to draw Kong into his territory to defeat him on his ground. Mm. That would be like the best way I could say.
I mean,
maybe that was his.
But again,
the apes are smarter. That makes sense. Like
again, the whole story of the Scar King is he wanted to invade the surface world.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. You now know there's a portal. Why wouldn't you take your army if you're looking to conquer? That was another thing where it's like, I kind of I kind of expected a scene where like Godzilla and Kong would just have to run through some minions together, and they didn't.
Yeah, they kept them.
It was just
the main baddies.
Yeah. The main boss battle, which was good. It was very awesome to watch. Yeah. But my point is, it's like he knows that there's now a portal to the main surface world, which is his main goal.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you take your armor?
Yeah, good point. Mm. Good point there.
He just left them all the... Again, I think the whole purpose of that scene, I've thought about this since last night, they just wanted to make him look more menacing and evil, which when Kong shows up at the end and he's like riding... What's the ice Pokemon's name?
Shimu?
Shimu.
Yeah.
When he's riding Shimu and he's got his little mini-me with him.
Yeah.
And he's got his axe and he's got his gauntlet.
Yeah.
He's got everything he needs.
To lead, yeah.
To lead. Yeah. You can see that those apes are like, thank God we hated that. We hated that Scar guy.
Which, you saw like remnants of it when Kong shows up, too, and he reaches his hand out to pick the guy who's fallen down.
Exactly. Yeah. And the guy doesn't understand.
Yeah, they're like, what's going on? Like, the ape, what's going on?
Yeah, I think all that stuff was an direct extension of the Scar King.
Yeah.
Because the idea of, like, showing any form of like
compassion
is weakness. Like you see it in that one app who immediately tries to stab him when he gets back up. Even like the mini Kong.
Yeah.
How many chances
did Kong give that little dude?
Like at least three or four where he was like,
dude, yes.
Okay, T-roll. I know where you're going.
T-roll, when he picks the little dude up and just uses him as a club.
Yeah.
How incredible was that, man?
Like phenomenal.
T-roll went wild.
That was awesome. Phenomenal. That was amazing. Yeah.
It was good. He literally picks the baby ape up and uses the baby ape as a weapon. That's what he uses him.
Yep.
It was such a fun scene. And the baby ape is like,
it was so good.
Shaking himself off, like, oh dang, that hurt, like that kind of thing, right? It was fun. Yeah, you're right. Kong really did steal the show because I feel like we're 30 minutes in. We've only talked about Kong and apes, right? Like, and a brief stint on the humans. Which, I mean, the humans don't really have much more to contribute minus the girl we haven't even talked about,
Godzilla.
I know, which I think contributes to his awesomeness. Because
look at this guy. Look at this guy spitting the story.
Because, let's transition there now, okay?
I think you're just spitting the story so much to go your way.
Let's transition.
Like a politician right now.
Let's transition to Godzilla for a minute, okay?
He's the greatest Titan ever.
Just
the
best.
They're all good. There's good Titans on both sides, but this one is the best. Yeah,
exactly. Well, they essentially played him as the villain in this.
Which actually, you know, I'm glad you said that because that's what I was gonna say. Like they kind of led him up. I mean, they led him to believe as the audience, like he's not like they show the compassion and the emotion of Kong, right? But then they kind of show the rawness of Godzilla, right? How animalistic he is, that kind of thing.
He doesn't
right?
care about humanity.
Right. Well,
like,
him destroying
like in the sense of like,
bridges and...
the bridges is so dumb.
It just like the way him laying down in the Colosseum. He just does not...
Right. But that shows his alpha. His alpha.
Like his dog bed.
Predator.
Dude.
Like he. Yeah. That's him, right?
He knows where he sits.
How dare you?
That was his dog bed.
No.
Bro. The Colosseum was his dog bed.
His actual bed. Not his dog bed.
It's his Godzilla dog
bed.
He's
above that.
It's his dog bed, dude.
Put some respect in his
mouth. He curled up like
a
dog, dude.
Dude, I cannot believe it.
He curled up like a dog.
Okay. All right.
Let's just go look at the footage.
You
did it twice.
He curled up. But I also curl up in a nice warm blanket myself. So
I don't curl up. It's all right.
Anyway.
Here's the thing. Okay, here's what I got to say about Godzilla. The way they portray him as a bad guy.
Yeah.
Here's what's so dumb. Okay.
Here we go. Hold on. Let me finish my whiskey with this one. Hold on.
Here's the thing. From the perspective of the humans, they're like, oh no, Godzilla's going to get stronger. That must mean there's a threat imminent. So let's attack him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what?
That made no sense. Yeah,
when the
jets
were like shooting rockets at him?
Yeah. It seemed pointless. Like, they literally wasted hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars just on the weapons.
Taxpayer money right there, brother.
Just on the weapons they shot.
The way the intro led us to believe, I felt like they were in agreement that Godzilla's there to do good.
I think they genuinely knew that. Yeah. I guess they were worried because he was taking on so much radiation.
They're trying to limit casualty, which Godzilla had no care in the world for who he was destroying or stepping on.
I think
I think that's what they're trying to limit the casualties.
Why
should
always be big cities?
That's a great point. Why can't Godzilla just be in the middle
star.
Of nowhere? Yeah.
He's a big star. Yeah. He's got to be in big cities. I legitimately think what it actually was they are the universe is trying to build the character of Monarch. I think that's legitimately what it is. Mm-hmm. And the way they are doing that is making them the force that's constantly like the positive of the Titans in this movie. Whereas like you have all and they're using these individual governments as they're like the groups that they don't understand. They don't understand what is actually happening with Titans, what Godzilla is actually doing. Whereas Monarch, although they don't like truly always know the plan,
correct,
they're always at least on Godzilla's side.
Correct.
In this. Yeah. I think that's kind of what they're getting at here is they're trying to make Monarch like the good guys. So, and the best way to do that is to give a bad guys, and why not make it these individual governments and make them like seem like they're incompetent and they don't know what's going on, and you know they're wasting resources and they're firing at who is supposed to be the hero.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's two aspects of Monarch. There's the scientists / believers, right?
Yes.
And then there's like the
military
soldier military. / skeptics,
yes,
of the whole Titan program, that
which,
kind of thing, right?
I mean, the fifth member of the team that we literally just did not talk about when we were talking about the team, mm-hmm. He's the perfect representation of that. Bikael, I think that was his name. The
Irish
Russian dude.
Yeah, like, whatever he was. Like, I don't know what he was. Like, but with the beard, with the beard, yeah.
The pilot.
Yeah, the pilot of the plane. Who ends
with the
up
one gun, the one SMG.
Eaten by the tree. Yeah.
Who like, the whole time he was just, like talking about, like, negatively about the Titans.
Yeah, he's
all
like,
this
who
stuff.
Cares if we kill all the Titans? Like, that kind of thing, right? Yeah. Yeah, man. But I want to go back to Godzilla because you mentioned, or one of you guys mentioned that he was building up radiation. He was trying to get stronger because he felt an imminent threat. And
yes,
I think it was T-Roll who said it, like it was a bad thing, but like,
well, I think the government saw it as a bad thing.
Oh yeah, you're right. He was getting stronger. So the government wanted to put him down and attack him. Right. Like,
but once again, Monarch was saying, oh, he must be seeing a threat. So it's a good thing that it's kind of a good thing, but we want him to at least monitor him.
How cool. You guys probably disagree with me, but how cool was it that Godzilla was literally just going around destroying other Titans to get stronger? Like, that was what he's literally being a boss.
He's literally playing Snake.
Going out there and destroying everybody.
So like, you thought it was cool?
Yes, absolutely.
I was thinking how immoral it was.
Oh.
And just wrong.
Oh, okay.
And very inappropriate.
So,
and just
Godzilla is an alpha, okay? He's not a beta like you, T-Roll.
No, for real though, it was today. Literally, I watched the whole movie, thought it was awesome. And then today, I had this thought. Today, I was like, okay. I'm not saying like he shouldn't have done it. It sounds like it was worth it. But I was thinking, okay, from Tiamat's perspective, what the heck, dude?
Yeah.
Why are you here? Like, leave me alone.
He just straight up showed up, murdered him, took his whole domain, took all of his power.
He needed the energy.
When you think about like how long these Titans have lived, Tiamat's probably been around for
ever.
Hundreds of thousands of years. And it's like, hey.
It's like, I know Godzilla, we're fine. I just,
Like, he stays in his area, I stay in mine.
Yeah.
Like, I know if I get out of line, he might, like, mess me up a little
bit.
Which
is why I stay in the Arctic Ocean. We're good.
I'm just sitting. I'm just chilling at the crib.
And I love the stereotypical, like, the humans are like, which way is he heading? He's like, oh, he's heading to the Tiamat's territory.
Yeah, like they
they're like,
knew.
Oh, he's heading to Tiamat. Oh, my goodness.
Like, and then we got this whole video of, like, Tiamat and, like, all this, like, footage.
This, what was it, montage of Tiamat, like being a badass for, like, a little bit. Yeah.
Computer-generated, like, here's what his skills are.
Yeah.
So it was a Pokédex.
It was a Pokédex. Yeah, you're right.
This is big Pokémon.
It was a Pokédex, and it was, like, a pre-fight, like, boxing match. Like, it was, here's all the accomplishments. Yeah, Tales of the Tape. There you go. And then Godzilla just goes there and owns him. Now, one downside of Godzilla.
Yeah.
One downside.
Let's hear it.
Did he abuse his breath into their mouth, like destroy their heads too much? Like,
whose heads?
anybody he faced, literally anybody before.
Too much.
Like he literally held open their mouth and blew into it like he did with everybody. Every movie that he's ever been in.
Yeah.
Was it abused?
The
too
way
much?
You heard his hyperbeam charge up was like, and then you just, and then it's like silent for like 2 seconds, and then just out of the ocean.
Body parts flying everywhere. Yeah. I honestly love that.
That was great.
I'm a simple man. I'm a very simple man. You give me things that go boom, I'm there.
But
I'm
it was like, again, like today I was just thinking like, what is Tiamat thinking? Like, what the heck, dude? I didn't do nothing to you.
Yeah.
Like,
which he looked cool. Tiamat looked cool.
Yeah.
But
he looked awesome.
Godzilla's just that much cooler, man.
Godzilla,
I'm sorry.
He actually kind of reminded me of like the rogue cop in a movie who like, you know, he's doing the right thing, but like, he's doing it all the wrong ways. Like he goes and he beats up the random informant and like does stuff not by the book, you know, and he's just like he's doing everything
to
stay the
out
wrong
of Godzilla's way.
But
yes.
No, I'm saying that is Godzilla. Like, yeah. Godzilla is like that force of like he is that rogue cop. He's the dude he knows he needs to get, you know, the information from, you know, this dude over here. So he goes and he attacks the power plant. He gets the power. It was for the right reasons, but he did it the wrong way.
Right.
And
that's
then,
a good
like,
point. That's
he knows
point.
He has, you know, it's
a
like
Godzilla
he,
RPG game.
Like he has to, like he kills the informant like a cop shouldn't. Yeah. But like, you know, he goes and he knocks off Tiamat for the right reason. But like, you know, because he knows he needs that power. But like from a perspective way, it's like that shouldn't be how you're doing things. That's kind of how I saw it.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Like Godzilla's seeking this power. He's charging up. He's becoming like stronger, right? And but then like you have Kong. So Godzilla's becoming stronger like physically. Like, but Kong is like kind of on the opposite spectrum. Like he's kind of he's potentially found something in these other apes, right? Where he's trying to seek out something more, right? To potentially become stronger, like mentally, emotionally, right? And
more whole.
Yeah, more whole, right?
Yeah.
That's great, T-Roll. I'm glad you brought that
up. And just intelligence as well. Like, you've seen him, like, just take a giant leap in intelligence.
Right, correct. It's more like everything is more mental with Kong, right? And so, like, you have two different sides of the spectrum for, like, Godzilla's, like, power, raw tenacity. And you have like Kong, where's like intelligence, like brains, like that whole side of things, right? And you kind of see them playing out on this parallel path, right? All heading towards one destination, and then that destination is like survival slash like saving, like a savior mentality, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
And just like the culminate, like to get to that point where Kong realizes, like, I need Godzilla. Like, I need his help because Scar and Shimu are too much. Like, when Shimu comes out and, like, freaking frostbites his hand, you're like, okay, well, where are we going to go now? Right. Like, and
I genuinely.
Kong goes to the people to save
him.
He
does what he needs to do
to help his hand.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He does that.
Goes to see his vet again, dude. Okay. Trapper's the real hero.
Worst part of the movie.
Worst part
is this part right here.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Kong goes to get his hand healed by Trapper, right? Or not necessarily Trapper, but the people, right?
Sure.
They say, oh, Kong must have sensed the girl, so therefore he showed up here, right? Like, but then they drop the line, all right? the stereotypical line of, we've been working on this prototype for so long.
Uh-huh. We shut down the program.
It's a shut down. Like how it's not ready. We're not ready for this. This what power train or what was it?
Powerhouse.
Powerhouse. That's right. Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. Powerhouse initiative or whatever the heck it was. Like it was like this most stereotypical line. It's not ready yet.
Yeah. It was a deus ex machina moment.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. But then, the vet's like, I'll go
Trapper.
Get it.
Trapper. Stop calling him the vet.
Okay, fine.
It's Trapper.
He was a little enjoyable.
He does a lot for Kong.
Yeah. He does.
And he,
and just for the
so
group.
He goes, plays his funky music, and he brings the gauntlet.
Yes.
Yeah, the Infinity Gauntlet.
Dude.
Brings it to Kong.
I was expecting to see some gems on that thing.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, Kong's either going to love it or he's going to hate it. And Kong's like, he kind of gives it the whole finger movement.
Yeah.
He lifts it up. He's like, oh, yeah, hell yeah. He's ready to go.
It's amazing.
He's ready to go. And but then, like, Kong is fully equipped, ready to go, mentally prepared.
But he knows he can't
Scar,
do it alone.
Knows he can't do it alone. Meanwhile, human side. They're talking about a savior child that comes from Skull Island that will reawaken Mothra.
Yes.
And they,
another big Pokemon.
Right. Another main character Pokemon, yes. Who was alive in number two, helped save the day in number two Yana. By fusing their power with Godzilla and then fading away in nothingness. Mm. But anyway, what were the name of the Indian tribe?
Iwi.
Okay. Iwi characters, right? Like, they believe this the child that they brought with them is the end-all, be-all, can communicate with Mothra, reactivate it. Mothra is reawakened, and how about that? I did not. None of the trailers showed Mothra.
Nothing.
At all.
Amazing.
None of them. Amazing. Fantastic. Which is what,
more movies need to do that.
Yes, correct. But the final trailer gave away Shimu. I would have much rather kept Shimu a secret than see Shimu revealed. But anyway, you have Scar and Shimu versus Godzilla and Kong. But oh wait, guess what? Trump card, Mothra is on the side of Godzilla and Kong.
Mothra's there to fly when there's no gravity.
Yeah.
Correct. Mothra's there just...
Mothra's kind of like...
being the perfect Titan.
Well, because like there was basically a third like battle. Like you, so you had the big two... You had the two-on-two battle, and then she was essentially just there to like help the humans in Hollow Earth as they were like... as they were battling as well. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what she was. She was like, she was the protectors of the humans. You know, she was kind of... She allowed Godzilla.
She's a deity to the humans.
Yeah. She basically allowed like the Godzilla and Kong to do what they needed to do. You know, like not have to worry about like, okay, these humans are about to just get destroyed. Yeah. You know, by these other apes and things like that. So she was kind of there to just, you know, play guardian in a lot of ways and just kind of like help where it was needed.
Yeah. She was Spider-Man, dude.
And so, okay, so Godzilla is Kong is fully equipped.
Yeah.
Goes up through the portal. They emerge in Egypt. He emerges in Egypt. And Godzilla senses his presence.
He's in Gibraltar.
Yes. Dude.
Okay, He's nowhere near. But then he gets there.
But they made it look like they were like across the desert.
Correct.
Like,
correct. Like they could see each other from the distance
like
that they're at.
Two different ends of the continent.
But okay, so Godzilla. He is hands on sight, dude. This dude is like he as soon as he sees Kong, he is
Time out. He was supercharged, right?
Yes, supercharged.
He knows that he's got to get supercharged because there's something big happening.
Correct.
Do you think he thought it was Kong in that moment?
Kind of. Yeah, I
thought
kind
so
of did.
Too.
Yeah, I kind of thought like, oh, Kong's coming back.
Yeah,
because
I mean, he knew Kong.
He knew Kong went away. He knew Kong went away, and he didn't have to worry about him anymore.
Yeah,
he knew that. From the last movie.
Right.
But yeah, he did use a hyper beam on him, so he knew it was like end all be all kind of thing. But I love how Kong emerges and he's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You see his hands up in that position.
Yes.
That position of like, I surrender, that kind of thing, right? Godzilla gives no Fs.
Hold a minute.
Literally zero Fs.
Yes.
Once again,
you get to see his humanity.
Yeah,
like,
correct.
Like this intelligence of Kong being like, hey.
Yeah, whoa. Yeah.
I got a proposition for you.
But here's the thing. Godzilla is that alpha. Like, he's that primal. He's that much more to where he will not pay attention to that, and he needs to maintain his domain. He needs to protect his domain.
Yeah.
He needs to overpower anybody else in his domain. And they establish this kind of... as long as Kong is in the Hollow Earth and Godzilla is in the real world, right?
Yeah, like surface world,
harmony, peace.
Yeah.
Right. But as soon as that thing is compromised, Godzilla's not about that life, right?
Yeah.
So they had this epic battle, which I thought it was fun. It was a good battle. But we knew as the audience going into this battle was not the end all be all, and it was going to be. They'll harmonize. They'll find a way to make it work, right? And so Kong convinces him.
Nope.
Well, Mothra.
Mothra saves the day.
Mothra saves the day
because Kong. Okay.
It pauses Godzilla enough to like realize.
Apparently, Godzilla's got a soft spot for Mothra.
What?
Kong, I don't know what's going on there, man.
Well, last movie. The second movie, King of Monsters.
King of Monsters, yes.
Mothra and Godzilla kind of had a thing, right?
Yeah.
Mothra is known as the queen of the monsters, and Godzilla is also known as the king of the monsters.
Yes.
Like, that's like a
I mean, they literally, like, they
combine,
like, you know.
They literally combine. They combine. Yes.
So, like, he's like, yeah, I can listen to her.
Yeah, correct. But that pauses Godzilla enough for Kong to beat the living heck out of him.
Like, dude, the first punch he gets with that with the glove, gauntlet.
The gauntlet, yeah.
And Godzilla slumps. It was like, yo. Yeah. And then he like goes in, and I thought like, oh, he's only going to get a couple punches. He got like 12
he
punches
went full
in him.
Like Iron Man, Hulkbuster on,
yes,
on Hulk. That's what
yeah.
he did. Yeah. Correct. Knocked him out, drags him into the
he
into
was
the
dragging
portal.
Him.
He literally pulled him by the tail into the portal.
That's the shot from the trailer, mm-hmm. which we didn't know it.
Right.
But it's like he's supercharging in his tail, and the camera, that's what's cool with the trailer. You don't know that it's Kong dragging
correct,
him.
Correct,
but
yeah.
in the movie, he's dragging him, trying to get him into the hole.
Yeah. yeah.
And he's just supercharging, and again, you hear the...
so great.
It's like,
so
it's
great.
Like loading up, and then you just know that now pinkish
yeah.
hyper beam
right.
is coming.
Yeah, but Kong gets him down there. He gets him into Hollow Earth, and Shimu and Godzilla go head-to-head. Kong and Scar King go head-to-head, and then like Mothra is bouncing back and forth. Little Ape
she's
is helping out.
She's yeah. literally Spider-Maning like
webbing
apes
them, yeah.
to stones.
Correct,
dude.
Yes.
The same way when you're playing Spider-Man yeah. the video game, you're webbing them to walls.
Baby yeah. Kong is doing Baby Kong. Like he's helping out as best he can.
Yep.
Right, but then they get like the gravity gets all manipulated, and they get thrown back into Earth, and this time they come up in Rio de Janeiro, right? Is
yes,
that they're at Brazil.
Yes,
and they are, dude. The
yet
amount
another
of,
city to
the
be
amount
just
amount
absolutely
of destruction.
Destroyed.
Yes,
is dude. We need a death count. We need 100% death count on
yeah. like,
you
know, like that
on
scene. Like,
anything.
There's literally like a building. Like when he takes off the top of the building, and they throw it like. How many thousands of people, or
oh,
at least
yeah,
hundreds
yeah.
of people, just died in that one scene?
Correct.
Exactly.
Which, yes.
like, it brings me up to, like, one idea. Like, I wanted to bring it up with you guys and see how you guys felt about it. Which world would you rather live in? The world of the monsters in this universe,
yeah.
or the world of superheroes?
I mean, if you're... The world of superheroes... Are we talking DC heroes or Marvel heroes? Because, like... Superman, Man of Steel, I would not want to live in that world. They were just freaking...
They just destroyed Metropolis.
Carefree.
Like, it's
carefree.
Just all over the place.
But I feel like
I
the battle...
That.
But
no
I feel
doubt.
Like the Battle of New York was... I mean, it kept it kind of confined to, like, Manhattan and Bronx.
Even
and kind of
DC,
thing.
I would hands down take that over Monsters.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
one reason. You at least
what
got a
Sokovia?
Message. You at, even from General Zod and Man of Steel, you got... communication.
Yeah, that's
There's
true.
There's no communication with Godzilla.
No.
Yeah.
He is like...
He'll walk over
He
you.
Is swimming through those rivers, destroying bridges when he can go like a few meters deeper.
I yep. pointed out to you, T-Roll, in, during the movie
so
that he was
bridges.
Swimming down the river and like flooding and like
yes,
destroying
the
streets
street.
That he flew. He
yeah,
swam
when, he,
by.
When he dived into Gibraltar,
yeah.
he literally just like created like
a tsunami.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
So
it's
I would,
ridiculous.
So like I would much rather live in a world where there was superhero threats because at least you can like communicate.
Yeah,
at least
you can
know.
You can be that guy to be like, oh, Zod said this. We need to get out of here.
Yeah.
That kind of thing,
or
right?
Or even in the Marvel universe, yeah. it's like, oh, that's why Thanos did that.
Yeah.
When in this universe, it's like, oh, Godzilla just showed up and everything's destroyed
right.
now.
Yeah, yeah.
And
exactly.
there was like an ice monster and yeah. Multiple different apes. Like,
yeah.
it was just crazy.
Well, even in like the very first Godzilla movie where one of the Mudos was in a Nevada facility as an egg and hatches and just destroys... Las Vegas.
Yes.
Like,
right.
yeah, it's just annihilated. Just because it's walking that direction. Like, it doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah.
But going back to the Godzilla Kong New Empire.
Yeah. Let's finish with the action. Let's finish
yes,
with the action.
Yes. So, like, they are now in Hollow Earth. Like, or no, sorry. They are now in Rio de Janeiro. They're fighting. Shimu is up here being controlled by some sort of like crystal slash scale
yeah.
slash.
They stole that one from How to Train yeah. Your Dragon.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Scar is in control of the
yeah.
dragon, of Shimu somehow, right?
Yes.
And Shimu is like freaking going ham on Godzilla. And anytime Scar King was compromised in any position, he held the thing up and
dude, Shimu's ice beam is crazy.
Yes. yes. Shimu's ice beam did some damage. But in like when Godzilla got frozen. Like, Godzilla was frozen completely solid, but his radiation...
And you saw the pink. It was
Yes,
it was
the
coming.
Pink radiation saved him, because
yep.
he could have ended up like Scar in the end.
Yes.
And it was... Yeah, I know.
Oh, do you mean shattered to pieces?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. But Scar and Kong's battle was epic. Like, absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Punch for punch, whip for axe, and it was
yeah.
it was insane.
Mm-hmm.
And Godzilla and Shimu, they were going hard at each other too. But I really like the teamwork scenes. Like Godzilla and Kong, they had a few moments, a few scenes that they were kind of shine together. Like Godzilla saving Kong multiple times with his like breath and his beam. Yeah. And then Kong, like, just being able to save Godzilla in certain scenes. But the one scene, like, it was even before the Rio de Janeiro scene. It was in Hollow Earth where they were running. And I know the Godzilla running scene has been, like, a topic of conversation because it looked kind of funny. But they're running, and then Godzilla, like, or no, Kong hops on Godzilla, and he's, like, riding Godzilla. Like, it's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
If you take a moment to pause and really... like, look at the gravity of the situation. Like, Kong is riding Godzilla.
I love
like,
to know what Godzilla's thinking. Get off me, bro.
Yeah, kind of rides him, like, side saddle. Like,
yes, side saddle. Because if he was riding on top of him, it would have been, like, full dominance. But, like, side saddle is more like a, I understand.
He's like, hey, I need a boost.
How dangerous you are. But I'm going to use you in that moment.
Yeah.
But, like, so anyway. But that translates to up top when they're fighting in Brazil. And,
This is a great buddy cop movie,
yes,
by the way.
I mean, yeah, no, you're right. You're
it's
right.
A monster
this
buddy
is like
cop
a great
movie.
Buddy cop
movie.
I mean, yeah, like a lot of the things, like you just think about it, like, you know, Godzilla is Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon, and he's like,
this is Lethal Weapon with Titans. That's what we're dealing with.
I mean, you know, you see that all the time.
Leave it to Shimada. Leave it to Shimada.
There are a bunch of, like you see that all the time where there's these characters that are, you know, one's unhinged and one's, you know, much more. On the line.
The old good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. Yep.
Even when you think like Sherlock Holmes, like Kong would be Sherlock and Dr. Watson does a lot more of the physical stuff.
Correct.
So, you know, like you got that set up too.
Yeah, but you see, I forget who destroys the crystal from Scar. I think it's Godzilla.
No, it's Baby Kong.
Oh, yeah, with the axe.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. And I
love Baby Kong coming into his own, right?
Because I thought he was going to throw the axe to Kong and then Kong was just going to slap Scar with it.
Yeah.
But no, he like just went for the crystal.
Yeah, Baby Kong becoming his own, right?
Yeah.
Like he's
pretty beast.
Being empowered.
Literally, yes.
Yeah, yeah. By Kong, like Kong's presence showed him that he can be more.
Be more.
Yes. And so anyway, he destroyed that. And then that allowed Shimu to be free from the control of pain, which we learned from the montage of hieroglyphics. But anyway.
Yeah.
So
poor
then,
Shimu, man.
Yeah,
jeez.
I know, right? So then Shimu... freezes Scar King and Kong just like literally holds him up and just
spikes him
onto the ground. He breaks into a million pieces.
Yep.
Game over. Kong, Godzilla, and then now a free Shimu win.
See ya, pizza.
Yeah. They return back to Hollow Earth. Godzilla and Baby Kong, or no, Kong and Baby Kong ride on Shimu and establish a ape civilization. Godzilla returns to wherever.
The Colosseum.
The Colosseum. Yeah. I hate you.
It's a dog bed, bro.
He returns to sleep in the Rome Colosseum.
I love that. He's
and
like,
then,
this looks good.
The humans.
No, time out. Think about this.
Yeah.
Godzilla's been on this planet for forever.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, I've never been to Italy before. And he's like,
comfy.
You know what? That place was so good. Yeah. I can go anywhere. I'm going back to Rome to sleep in this place.
Correct.
Like that's kind of funny, actually, if you think about it.
Oh, trust me. Visually, it looked very funny.
It was great.
Sure. But the humans. I have one thing to say. Spoilers for Monarch Season 1 on Apple TV.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched that yet, skip ahead 2 minutes.
Sure.
Give or take.
2 minutes.
But it was proven in the show, in Monarch, that when you come back from Hollow Earth... there is a temporal, some sort of rift where time is displaced, and you are in the future. You have aged. Their body didn't age, but the time they returned to has aged multiple years. So how the heck did the crew that helped Godzilla and Kong in Hollow Earth
not age?
How did they not age when they returned? Like we didn't see them return. We never saw them return. I want to point that out. But
you're right.
We are led to believe that they returned whole.
True.
So, headcanon wise, for me, the little place in Barbados where they had the poles, the little things, part of me is like thinking that they created some sort of temporal control to where they, if they leave and enter through the same area that is protected by this thing, they can emerge at the same exact time. That is how I'm looking at it. However, jeez, they did not spend any time acknowledging that, which to me kind of, it's them discrediting their show that they spent so much time.
Yeah. Which is such a solid, like,
empowering.
That,
right?
We spend so much time talking about
it. We reviewed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So they didn't acknowledge that at all. We didn't get any Kurt Russell. Listen, they're in Hollow Earth. They're literally in Hollow Earth. There's a outpost set up, and there is no Kurt Russell. Like, what's going on?
And they said outpost number one, which means there's others.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Think about that, too. So. Yes.
But yeah, and also, like, with the idea that there is an outpost down there, you have to kind of, like, assume that these people just didn't give away their entire lives to stay down there, you know, like, so obviously there must be a way to get up there to where you're not losing years and years and years by being down there, you know?
Yeah. I want to go ahead and believe like those, that little setup, whatever that contraption was, where it was like these poles in the ocean where it lit up. Like, I want to feel like that is like some sort of safeguard.
Yeah.
Keep being real hopeful.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. Maybe we'll get that explanation in season two of Monarch.
Or maybe you have to be in like a ship. Well, no, because
no, because
again, spoilers for Monarch.
Shaw was in a ship. Yeah. Like he was in a ship. So
now, of course, it could have been a more advanced ship. They may have advanced technology wise.
That's
where
also
that ship,
true. That's also
like,
true.
Like carries them, but that would also mean like okay, so like when you're down, when you're not in the ship, or say were a significant amount, time would have.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, but at the end of the day, they didn't really like give the human ending a full conclusion. Like they like the Iwi girl or whatever that she was, like the Iwi girl said that she's gonna stay with the scientists and go back up to the upworld, right? And I'm assuming that the Iwi civilization would continue to live down below.
Yes.
We didn't really get a conclusion to that. But we did get a conclusion that like Kong reestablishes, or he establishes himself in the ape community as the alpha.
Yes.
He will, we're led to believe, lead with a kind and caring fair heart.
Yeah. I'm assuming that he'll take up like
no more mining.
Trying to take over like subterranean.
Correct. Yeah.
But like kind of like they'll just kind of like
they'll establish a kingdom, a community, right? Yes. Like that
or
kind of
a
thing.
New empire.
A new empire. Godzilla will maintain his stay on Earth where he has full dominion.
Surface
and
world.
Will sleep in the Rome Coliseum.
Everybody's on Earth.
Yeah. And he will just be what he has been, which is a protector of Earth. Yeah. That basically, right?
Yeah.
The entirety of the surface world.
Yeah.
And that was it. End of the movie. No post-credit scene, no nothing. I mean, I'm okay with that ending. I'm okay if you end the series here and then like reboot Godzilla like in 5 years. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't.
I can live with that.
I'm not sure like what else you could like do in this.
What's
setup.
Next? Yeah.
Like,
what's next? Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is like aliens, like an alien threat of some sort.
Like yeah. Well, the only thing I can think of is
put Godzilla on a spaceship.
Here you go. Here you go. The only thing I think of is Ghidorah Stan number like
64,
whatever the number was.
Yeah.
Is actually like Ghidorah. Cloning Ghidorah, and Ghidorah comes back and tenfold, and Godzilla needs Kong to help again. That kind
of and this time Godzilla. I would actually love to see if Godzilla had to go ask Kong for help, because that would be like
tail between your legs.
Yes,
that's what it would be.
Yeah, dude.
That's what it would be.
Yes, it would actually
just to see
be.
Like and the look on Kong's face when he realized
kind of chuckle.
Was.
Yeah,
and he's like, "All right, sure.
No matter what you've done, you've come back to me."
A little
like,
side smile. Was,
yeah.
That's right.
No matter what you've accomplished, what you've done.
Where did that lead you?
Where did that lead you?
Right
back to
back
me.
To be.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, overall, fun movie. A lot of plot holes. But if you're looking at this movie as just something to enjoy, it's a fun ride.
It's still better than Madam Web.
Way better.
Yeah,
way better.
Still better than
anyway,
a lot of things.
I'm giving this movie like a good rating. It's a solid movie. It's a solid movie.
Yeah,
you should watch it.
I would say with my experience with Rotten Tomatoes, I would say I don't think it needs to be even in the like mid 60s to low 70s is what I would say.
I mean, that's fair.
Very much so. That'd be a very fair rating.
Yeah.
Critic score, right? Or
Yeah.
Yeah.
For critic, yes.
Yeah.
I think it should be higher.
I mean, audience should be
Audience
higher.
Is 92.
Audience was like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Audience is appropriate.
Yeah, which it makes sense. It makes sense.
It's a fun time. Yeah, it's enjoyable. Yeah. If you're looking for like a cinematic experience, this is probably the closest thing you have.
Go watch it in IMAX.
Of 2024. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go watch it in IMAX. All right, we need to cut it off. It's been a good pod, boys.
Absolutely.
Time to go to bed. Just want to thank everyone for listening. Remind you to please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Follow us on social media at Royal Geek Pod. And also, if you could share this podcast with your friends, it's helpful. Leaving us a review, particularly a 5-star review on Apple, that really helps us out a lot. And yeah, come back next week. We're going to have some more coverage of our reviews of the X-Men series on Disney Plus. And with all that in mind, for my good friends Sandy and Shimato, this is T-Roll saying thank you so much for listening to the Royal Geek Podcast. We will see you next time, you peasants.